I have a couple of things I want to say. How many of you know that was a very tragic thing that happened there in New Orleans, you know? It's pretty hard for me to conceive a city that is literally built under the sea level, but, you know. But we need to be careful, very careful as believers, that we don't give God credit for this tragedy. That is not the nature of God. God does not have a problem with humanity. Humanity has a problem with God. How many understand what I'm talking about? And it boils my blood when I hear television and radios pop off judgment of God on the sinner. But you got to remember, a lot of them people were believers in spite of the sin in the city. And God poured all the wrath He's going to pour out on His Son. That's why judgment is going to be so justified, at the fact that men are not going to be judged for sin, because sin was judged in Christ. Men will be judged for the works, that which they promoted while they were here, not connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. How many understand what I'm talking about? And so, the world, it has its problems. But the church has a greater problem. They don't know who their enemy is. Satan, my enemy, took that city out. Not God. And he's trying to do his finest work to let us believe God put that on those people. And I'm going to tell you something. That is not the nature of my God. He doesn't twist people's arm and coerce them and cause wrath to come on them to get them to repent. I'm sorry. That is not my God. If you do not willingly give your life to Him, then everything else is not normal. Are you following what I'm saying? So when you look at this tragedy and you hear them cries come forth, please give the devil credit for every bit of it. And not my Heavenly Father. He told me in prayer the other day, he says, I had nothing to do with this. He says, the enemy is trying to pick the finest hour he can with these tragedies to put God in it. And he's not going to get away with that with my thinking. I don't know about you, but not my thinking. Can you imagine standing at the great white throne? And God would bring judgment on the unbeliever by saying, well, when I poured my wrath out on New Orleans and you lost your life, why didn't you give your life before you lost it to me? That's why I poured that wrath out on New Orleans. You ain't going to catch God doing that. You just don't know your salvation. Hallelujah. Roz, did you want to share? I love you too.
I love you. I love me some Pastor Butler, and I love me some Pastor Cook, and I love me some First Lady.
Hallelujah.
Sue was my husband's First Lady, and he loved her so much, and I love me some Tristan, because he used to get so angry. He'd come home and be angry with Tristan, but he said, honey, I love Tristan because Tristan is my little boy. He said, Tristan won't mind his grandma. He was just running and everything, you know. He loved everybody, but I just want everyone to know that I'm so thankful that I have this church family. I'm so thankful because you all were right there. Pastor was right. There was right there. And this is so funny. And I have to share it, Pastor. But you were sitting in the living room, and I looked up, and I'm like, gosh, Pastor. I was thinking to myself, you're supposed to be consoling me. No, that was so funny. I thought, oh gosh. But, you know, my husband is soaring like the eagles. You You know, when I grew up, I used to go every summer to the zoo all the time in Denver, and they had this old ugly eagle that just sat back there, you know. And the first time I actually ever saw an eagle in flight was in the South Artillery Impact Area here at Fort Lewis, down by the Nisqually Lake. And I looked up and I was like in such awe because there was three eagles that were in flight, and the majestic of them was just totally awesome. And I got back into the range control truck and I thought, oh, everyone needs to see an eagle in flight because it's so awesome. So can you imagine, you know, that we can soar like the eagles, you know, but we can soar like the eagles right now because we are the righteousness of God through His Son, Christ Jesus. And I want everyone in here to know that you need to get yourself right with the Lord because tomorrow is not promised. And one of the things that kept me going on Monday was the first thing was that my husband was a happy man. He would always say, honey, I'm so happy. And I growl, I'm tired of this happy stuff, you know. And then I kept thinking to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. My husband is a happy man. He's happy. He's up there in heaven happy. He's probably following Jesus around right now, carrying his Bible or whatever, you know. I know there's no trash in heaven, but if there was a trash can up there, he'd be emptying it. Oh, church, you know, be happy. Mm-hmm. Love one another. Yes. Don't let the sun set on your anger. Get it right with the Lord. If you don't know Him, you need to get it right. The thing that I'm so happy about is I know my husband loved the Lord and the Lord loved him. And I know where he's at. I don't have that grief to go with. I don't have any closure because I know that when I get to heaven, if I don't go before we're all raptured away from here, I know that we're going to sing and rejoice for eternity. We're talking about forever and ever and ever and ever, church. Forever and ever and ever. Get your life right. Get it straight with the Lord. Don't carry anger. Don't carry anger in your heart. Don't carry anger in your spirit. Don't carry it. It's not worth it. You know, just walk in love. Walk in love and don't judge people. Don't judge. We don't have the right to judge anyone else. We can judge their fruits, but we don't have a right to judge them. We don't know what's really in their hearts. You know, and my husband, he loved everybody. He loved all our neighbors. Oh, it was just so awesome to see our neighbors, my neighbors. You know, and I got the United Nations. That's where I live. I live in the United Nations, don't I, Maxine? I live, you know, I mean, you know, all nationalities. You know, my husband, I'm going to share this and then I'm going to shut up. My husband wanted to go back to Vietnam, and I didn't know that until a couple of weeks ago when my neighbor was over. And after she left, I didn't know that he had been preparing with her and her husband to go to Vietnam with them next year when they go. You know, and so when she left off our porch, you know, I said, Dago, you want to go back to Vietnam? You know, I'm like, why would he want to go back to Vietnam? And he said, yes, honey. He said, I need to go back to Saigon. I want to go back to Saigon. And I'm like, okay, honey. Well, we're going to prepare and we're going to save and we're going to make sure that we go back to Saigon with Rose and her husband next year. So he was looking forward to that. Mm. He was looking forward to retiring. He just retired in a different place.
Amen.
You know, amen, amen. I love you, church. I love you. You're my family. You're my family. I mean, my daughter Marie over there, she's been so precious and such a real trooper. And my son, he's back in California, but he'll be back. Oh. But but I tell you, you guys have been so awesome. You just don't know. You just don't know. You're my family. You know, you are my family. And you've been right there. Because when some of his family members have not been family, I mean, they're not acting right. They're not acting like family. But you guys are acting like family. You're stepping in. You're loving on me. You're loving on my daughter. You're bringing things and you're just praying for me. I can feel the prayers. You know, those that can't even get out are praying for me, are calling me, worried about me, you know, but don't worry about me.
Hallelujah.
You know, because I'm going to be fine. My husband, he loved me, and he loved all of you all. But I just want to share with you, if you just, you know, if you remember him and how happy he was, you know, and how much he loved this church and how much he loved. He said, I love me some Pastor Butler. I know that's not correct English, you know, but that's what he would say. And I love me some Pastor Cook, and I love me some First Lady Sue, and I love me some Myrna. You know, he loved us. He
Amen.
Loved us so much.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, praise for letting
Lord.
Me share.
Hallelujah.
You want to announce?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you, Roz. Praise God. He just took a shortcut. He had a long way that he was supposed to go, and he says, nah, let's go now. How many envy him? We're on our way. Be careful. You might get a shortcut, too. You never can tell. Anyhow, this Tuesday, there's going to be viewing of the body from 2 p.m. till 9 p.m., and then here Wednesday at 2 p.m., there will be the funeral service, and, of course, everyone is invited, then on Thursday, they're going to have the interment up at 1:30 at the Tahoma National Cemetery. Now, this is in a lot of your bulletins, and if you have any questions, be sure and just call the office.
Yeah, when I had received the phone call that Sylvester had gone on home to be with the Lord, I was kind of in a daze, but I know I was supposed to go there and console her and everything, but Sylvester was so close to me that I just didn't feel like being a pastor. I felt like being a grieving friend. You know, there's time you just got to put the cloth off and just join in with the grief and get through this, because you're not viewed as a church member. You're viewed as alive.
That's right.
Amen. And I wasn't going to sit there and say, oh, glory to God, he's gone home. I'm still in this natural flesh, and I had to do some grieving myself, because I lost a friend. Amen. Praise God. Wednesday at 2. If you will, open your Bibles up to Romans chapter 12. Yeah. Oh, kids, you're free to go to the kids' zone. Hallelujah. That's okay, Tammy. Hallelujah. Romans 12. We've been talking about the mind being renewed. And most of us don't realize, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And many of us, we've read through the first three verses without really knowing that mind renewing doesn't stop until the 15th chapter at the 7th verse. We always seem to think that we go with these three verses on mind renewing and we think that's where it begins and ends. But it doesn't. The writer Paul himself literally continues on and shows us what a renewed mind looks like. So we've been discussing the process of renewing of the mind. Now, you're not going to have to take notes on what I'm about to do as far as breaking the entire process down to you, because we're going to have them typed up for you and given to you. We've already had them typed up one time. I just couldn't find the copies of it this morning. And so we'll see to it that it gets into the foyer so that you don't have to write today. You can concentrate on what I'm going to share with you. But when you really see how the writer Paul clearly defined what a renewed mind looks like, it kind of leaves us all without excuse. You know, we can all make excuses why we do and say the things that we want to, but when it comes down to the Word of God, what the Word of God says is absolute truth, regardless of what we think or feel. Amen? So the Word of God is what really defines whether we're right or we're wrong, whether we're correct or incorrect in life. It doesn't matter how you interpret God. It matters how God is interpreting Himself. You see, and that's the problem with the church. What we're trying to do is we're trying to get our minds renewed through the glory of men rather than the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. He's the one that gives validity to the Word of God. Men cannot. The glory of man cannot. And what I mean by the glory of man is the impact that people can put on our lives. We need to be careful that it's the proper impact and not the incorrect impact. You know, I was reading, or I'm going through the book called The Midas Touch. I read one chapter, and it was about sowing to get. And I never bothered reading the rest of the book because everybody said, well, we already knew all that stuff, you know. And so they just assume or took for granted that much of what was written in the Midas Touch was common knowledge. But when I started reading the book, the Lord spoke to me about reading that book. And when I got into the book and began to read it, I went, my gosh, this book was not just a mild rebuke. This book was a heavy hammer on the body of Christ, really strong, concerning the understanding of finances. Chapter after chapter after chapter, Kenneth Hagin destroys much of the teaching that the prosperity message has been given today that's gotten wacko or way off course. And I got to thinking, my gosh, no wonder they didn't like this book, because he literally annihilated much of their teaching. That's going on today, giving to get, debt burning and world transfer of wealth and things like that. And he put such a proper perspective on it. I'm captivated by the book. I'm going to be finishing it here pretty quick. But I'm going to tell you something. I do believe, because of the impact of ministers today that have been teaching on money, I do believe that Kenneth Hagin, literally, his time was up. I do believe he was a prophet of God, and I do believe that God just called him home when the key leaders of the body of Christ today rejected his prophetic position. I believe that he knew that his time was up. He could no longer affect the key leaders. Now the church itself has to create a healthiness in spite of these leaders that are teaching us wrong and leading us in the wrong direction. One thing that I noticed about the book when I was reading it, Dad Hagin always went back to the Word of God, and whenever he criticized something that they were in error of, he always said, you do not find this in the Word of God. And you know something? I had to say yes and amen. A lot of it is just somebody's concept. They came up with something that sounded good, and they pull Scripture out of their settings, and they run off on it. And it shows me right there, the body of Christ needs to get back to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to be elevated in our present day so that the church of God can get back on course where it belongs. And the Holy Spirit is given to the Word of God, and He is given to our inner man. He is not given to our outer man, and yet people seem to think so. The Holy Spirit was given for the purpose of our inner man being changed and renewed, metamorphosized. And I'm going to tell you something, people. It's not easy to change the way you think. It takes an effort to cultivate your thinking towards the kingdom of God. It takes an effort. Just recently, I was asking the Lord why some great believers are being taken out. He says because they violated the Word of God and they don't even know it. And one thing that you need to be careful of is your fellowship with one another. That's the major thing that the enemy can take a man's life out with. If his fellowship is not right with his neighbor, then his fellowship with God is not right. Because your neighbor is a reflection of your fellowship with God. Now, this morning I want to capitalize on some important things, and I want you to get a hold of this. First of all, we're going to break down the entire 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th chapter of the renewing of the mind. I'm going to break it down, and I know that I'm going to give you a lot of information here. You don't have to write this down because I'm going to put it in printed form for you, okay? I also got your other notes for Wednesday night as well in printed form for you. You can pick them up. Now, here's how it's broken down, the renewing of the mind, from Romans chapter 12, 13, 14, and 15. In verses 1 through 3, it's where you start. How to submit the spiritual mind to deliver the soul. And see, what people don't understand about mind renewal is they're telling you that the way the mind is being renewed by the weakest concept of all. Change your environment and your mind will think differently. How many of you know that is true? You know, bad company corrupts good morals. You find it in the Bible. It says that your environment will change the way you think. I don't care what anybody says. That is the weakness of your soul. It doesn't, you know, they're teaching today how you get your mind renewed from poverty to wealth is you run with the wealthy. Well, I got news for you. That's dangerous. Because it will work. You will think differently. But listen, just remember, as your teacher is, so will you be. And if they lack an understanding in the Word of God, you inherit that. But I got news for you. When the Holy Ghost is your teacher, you got the Spirit of truth, you will not err in the way you think. And God didn't leave us to the weakness of the soul by casting the environment to renew our mind. God would never do that. He did not leave the church to the environment of the natural world to renew our mind. I beg to differ with anyone that says anything else. And they've got books written, scores of them written on that same process, that if you want to change the way you think, change your environment. That is a bunch of garbage. If you want to change the way you think, get plugged in fellowship with God and plug into the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. And there's where the true process really begins. Not the glory of men. Because men is too infallible. They're too mistake prone. We are not. Your pastor is not the Spirit of truth. Oh, I don't want a lot of you to fall off your pews there. Some of you shake your head. That's right, that's right. It's because I'm not your pastor. Don't concentrate on that right now. So verse 1 through 3 is where you start. How to submit the spiritual mind to deliver the soul. What is the first step to present your spiritual mind to renew the soul? What is the first step? It tells us right here in the first three verses. What is the first step? What is the first step? What is the first step? Present your bodies. Notice this, a living sacrifice. You know what that means? Your natural life, your physical life, it's got to go out the door. You don't interpret anything to know God through your natural senses, your physical body, nothing. Not circumstances, nothing. That is not where you start getting your mind renewed. Where you start getting your mind renewed is that the Lord is able to quicken you from the inside out. That's easier said than done. Verse 4 through 8, Paul goes on to say, this is what a renewed mind ought to do. He ought to locate himself and get involved in a church. locating yourself in a local body for service. That's what verses 4 through 8 is talking about. And verses 9 through 21, it's talking about the church's walk and how we walk with each other. So these verses 9 through 21 is literally telling us what a renewed mind ought to do and walk and act like. You know, tomorrow we're going shooting, me and my son. Different weather. We're going to go black powder shooting. And if I went out to that range and I set up all my equipment and got my gun out and I didn't have a target to shoot at, guess what? I'm just wasting bullets and powder. I got to go downrange and I got to put a target up so I can shoot at it. You want to know why? Because the target, it gives me something to shoot at. Are you following me? I just don't go down there and shoot downfield without no target or anything, because that bullet can go anywhere. I don't know where that bullet's going. I'm just scatter shooting. For all I know, the guy next to me could drop. You know what I'm talking about? But I got to have a target downstream. And when I got a target downfield, then I got something to aim at and got something to shoot for. Well, that's why Paul gave you these verses definitely. He's saying this is a target to shoot for if you want to know what a renewed mind acts like and does when God's kingdom gets in your heart. So these are the verses he's telling. This is your target. This is what we shoot for. So he says after verses 9 through 21, this is a church walk, how we walk with each other. Then chapter 13, right off from verses 1 through 5, he talks about believers' witness in fellowship to the authority before the world and the church. World authority and church authority. A renewed mind respects authority. If you don't respect church authority, you will never get grounded and your mind will never get renewed. If you don't respect natural authority, you'll never be in peace so that you can concentrate on the church authority. You follow what I'm saying this morning? Praise God. Now, verses 13, or chapter 13, verses 6 through 7, it talks about financial support of both authorities in the earth, government and church. Then in chapter 13, 8 through 10, how to love your neighbor in the world or in the church. And chapter 13, 11 through 14, it defining time lost and a walk of the Spirit, putting off the old man, putting on the new. Chapter 14, 1 through 15, he talks about how to walk with each other in spiritual indifferences, because all of us are on different wavelengths, different channels, different spiritual development. And so he deals with these issues that we're not agreeing on, and how to walk with each other in spite of what we disagree on until the Spirit of truth can work to its maturity in our hearts. Amen. You see, we stop at the third chapter of Romans 12. We stop right there and miss the whole thing. And when God showed me this, I went into shock, because now I can define whether a person is really giving their mind to God or not by the fruit that they bear in their life. And I have this go right to and take a look at very clearly. That's not what a renewed mind looks like. That's not how it responds. Are you following what I'm saying? Because I've got my instruction manual. Amen? Now, follow me real close, because the Word of God can be very confusing without understanding it in its text. The first thing we're going to do is go to James chapter 1, verse 21. James 1, 21. Now, what I'm about to share with you, most pastors, they don't see this. They don't see this. Notice in James chapter 1, verse 21, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Notice it's plural in the Greek. Which is able to save your souls. Now listen to me. I got news for you. God's number one priority in your life is to deliver you from your natural thinking. That's his number one priority in life. And most of us, what is my call? What is my calling? And God's saying, you're a wacko. Get rid of your wacko thinking and I'll show you your calling. God doesn't want idiots out there doing the work of the ministry. He wants God-called people, God-submitted people out there doing the work of the ministry. And there are a lot of people who want to dart out there and do the work of the ministry, and all they'll do is bring a reproach to the gospel. That's all they'll do. Now, notice he said, receive with meekness the engrafted word. This is the word implanted. This comes off the word to implant something for the purpose of germination. So something is planted so that it would germinate and bring forth life. It would be like a farmer. He wants to go and plant corn. He's going to put the seed in the ground so that the ground will do something to the seed to bring forth corn. Amen? And what he's saying here is in order for you, literally, in order for you to begin to think differently, this seed of God's Word has to go in the right ground to produce or germinate the right substance. Most of us think that we're planting the seed in the proper ground and we're getting turnips. And we planted what we thought was carrots. How come we're not getting what we think we're planting? Well, because the Holy Ghost is not involved. Listen, if you don't know what ground that the seed goes into, you're going to have the wrong ground producing the wrong. Did you know the ground produces of its own accord? In Mark 4. Now, follow me real close, and I want you to get a hold of this. Turn over to Mark chapter 4. Let's go there. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And let's go to verse 14. Now follow me real close because we want to cover this before we go any further. We're talking about getting our minds renewed. What does it mean by a renewed mind? It means to change the way you think. Literally, it's metamorphosized, which literally means transform, metamorphosize. It literally means one form of thinking totally annihilated for another form of thinking to live. Just like a caterpillar to a butterfly. Totally different form, totally different way of living, totally different life. See. So, in Mark 4 here, it says, the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. Did you know that we've got a lot of word that's being sown? But notice this. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And what got me is, if it's sown, something they heard was sown in them, then how can he take it? Is that a good logical question for all of us? If you hear the word of God, then how can Satan come along after you've heard the word of God and then say, I can take it? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Boy, I read this for a long time and I asked myself that question. How in the world can a person hear the Word of God and get that kind of results out of it? That's one thing we as pastors say. Gee, we sow the Word day after day after day after day and this is what we get? Haven't they heard? Oh, yes, they've heard. Yes, they've heard. But it's how they've heard. Boy, I love the Greek language. People, you can say what you want to say, but the Greek language, very descriptive concerning the kingdom of God. Very descriptive. I don't care what your Greek leaks say. They say, well, they put the wrong word in there. No, they put the right words in there. They just got the wrong interpreter. Now notice this. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately, notice this, receive it with gladness. Ooh, baby. I've seen people come in here, hear the word of God, get so excited. And they'd leave here and get so excited and appropriate what they heard. They had a failure. And then say, well, stay away from that church. They're preaching things that give you false hope. Don't forget the stony ground here. The word receive is a real interesting word here. It is a Greek word, lambano. It literally means something that was heralded at you. You heard it, but that's it. You just merely come to hear like an audit. But what have they got to say? But really, this word, to receive it with gladness, literally is referring to what sounds good, but it really doesn't have any meaning for any application in that person's life. I heard it, but I don't know whether I agree with it or not. You know, there's a lot of things I've heard when my mind started getting renewed. When I heard the Word of God, people, but I heard it out of religion. But when I started hearing the Word of God from the realm of the Spirit, I got real confused. You want to know why? One was saying one thing one way, and another was saying something else another way. And so I got confused. Well, who is speaking the truth? Well, notice, he said, receive it. It means it was thrown at them. They accepted it, even with gladness. But notice, and have no root in themselves, and so endured but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Notice, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of rich, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Verse 20, notice this. And these are they which are sown on good ground. Ho-ho. On good ground? I'm going to tell you something, people. Your natural mind, right here, you might as well take a note of this. This right here, your natural thinking, your natural brain, your natural mind, it's bad ground. It's bad ground. When you hear the Word of God off this bad ground, this Word will run into hard places in you. Because life has played on your natural mind, maybe a bummer shoot. Maybe something happened to you in your life that has created a hardness in you where you don't trust in life. Something that has happened to you, that turns into a rock. Guess what? The Word of God can be received with that mind. But listen, the minute Satan touches that hard place in your mind, it'll attack the Word of God. That is not logical. What about this thorns? You know what I mean? Someone who will receive the Word of God, but yet natural understanding, they'll mix them two together. You know, they'll just mix them together. And guess what happens when you start mixing the wrong substance with the wrong thing? One's going to choke out the other. Because the word choketh, the word means literally to squeeze something by the throat until it loses its life. And guess what? When you listen to the Word of God with your natural brain, guess what? You're looking for trouble. Because something is going to begin to cause you to rely back on that natural mind rather than that which is sown into good ground. Now, what is good ground? Well, let me tell you something, people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there's a verse that's stated there. I think it's verse 45. It says, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. But the second Adam, a quickening or life-giving spirit. Now, what is meant by that? What is meant by that? Well, first of all, Adam, when he was created and God breathed into him the breath of life, man now had his behavior, because the word living means to have behavior, his character, everything that he was, that God created, was now lived out through that natural mind. But the natural mind had not been exposed to that which presents good and evil. Are you following me? And so his whole living, his whole behavior, his whole character came out and expressed itself in this natural realm. But the word quickening here is zupoio. It literally means, are you ready? It literally means now you have with God a quickening or a new life-giving spirit. Which means that God quickens you now through your spirit, not your natural brain. He quickens everything through your spirit. Logos literally means the spoken word of God. Rhema literally means the spoken word of God. But when Logos is mentioned, it literally means God speaking to you. And when Rhema is mentioned, it is you speaking to God or man. And the Bible in your lap was not to be meant to read with your intellect. It was meant to assimilate and let God speak out of that word. Somebody said, I know what I got to do. I got to read the Bible. I know I got to read the Bible. Why? I'm dead in the hammer spiritually. I know I got to read the Bible. Do God a favor. You see, you got to do something with what you got to do. You got to read means you've become complacent and indifferent. You've lost an interest for the kingdom of God. You want to know why? Because you and God haven't been fellowshipping. How do you think God fellowships with you? He fellowships with you through the Word of God. He don't fellowship with you through you reading the Word and letting your mind have its understanding. It is fellowshipping with God for God to speak through that Word. Boy, we can't hammer this home enough. We cannot hammer it home enough. Now, I want us to look at some verses here that are confusing. Verse 11 of Mark 4. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The word mystery means to be given something outside the range of natural apprehension. It literally means something that is going to be given to you that could not come from anything that's natural. It's mysterion. It is not the English word implying something withheld from you. It is the Greek word implying something that has been given you outside the range of natural senses. And that's the first thing he says. He says, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Notice verse 12. That seeing they may see and not perceive. And hearing they may hear and not understand. Lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And I got to thinking, wow, Jesus, that kind of weird. You're sitting there giving us a verse and you hope they don't make it. And God finally said to me one day, he said, listen. He said, Listen to me very carefully. That verse is an indictment against the natural mind. Because that's a position they hold with God, not that God holds with them. Did you get that? You see, I'm going to tell you something. Rebellion to change the way you think is taking this position. If you don't take a position of humility to renew your mind, guess what? Your natural mind will take over every time. It'll say and believe weirdness. Because it's in enmity against God. It's not subject to renewal. It has to be purged. Now notice what he says. And not understand? At least any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven. That is not a position that God takes with mankind. That is a position that man takes with God. And he's setting a precedent. He said the reason things were designed to be received outside natural apprehension is because the mind that is against God takes a position of not receiving anything God has to say, and therefore it doesn't get converted, it doesn't get healed, it doesn't get restored. So he said, well, I don't know why they just do what they're doing. I'm praying, I believe. They just set their mind against God to do their thing. Now we can hope for some tragedy to come along that will maybe quicken and make them come alive to God. Or maybe a service, the anointing will come on them from a guest speaker or somebody outside of the normal pastor and whack them one good one and they'll stick. But most of the time Christians, unless you get a hunger for God, you're not going to be blessed. Because Jesus did not say, blessed are they that don't care about the kingdom of God or the word of God. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Somebody said to me one time, Lord, just light my fire. Lord, light my fire. Why did Paul tell Timothy, crying on his shoulder, oh, I've got church problems. And the first thing Paul said is, now wait a minute. Stir up that gift that was given to you by my laying on of hands. Stir it up. He wasn't talking about the ministry call, because he said that in the first one, 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy, he was talking about, Timothy, you're not fellowshipping with the Holy Ghost. You got to stir yourself up. Somebody says, I'm just waiting for God to move. God's waiting for you to move. You know God's always stirred up? You know God's always turned on to what He's wanting to do in your life? Did you know that? God's always on fire for you. Trouble is, you pour a bunch of water on yourself, but you douse yourself out. You know, you need to dry out and get on fire. If you don't have a hunger for the Word of God, you ain't going to get on fire. You have to do something about it. So, notice what he says in verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, 60, and some 100. All. Look at the words receive here. It is not the word lambano. It is not the word lambano. Such as hear the word and receive it. Notice, good ground. Did you know what good ground is, people? It's not this natural mind. It is the spiritual mind. That is your good ground. And every one of you got it. Every one of you got good ground. Everyone. Every one of you have got good ground. You're without an excuse. Why? Is a candle brought to be put under a vessel? Many translations puts a vessel there. Do you know what? When you light a candle, would you go and put it under your bed? You know what that's called? Weird. Well, what happens if you sit in a room and you turn the light on and the bulb came on, so you turn the light back off and remove the bulb? Then... nothing. You want to know why? You got the light bulb in your hand. Put the light bulb back in the lamp. Why? Because a light bulb in a lamp means it's a lamp to produce light. Some of us are so brilliant, we're like a busted light bulb in a black can of paint in a dark room during a blowout. And we're looking for some light. The entrance of my word bringeth light. The lamp of the righteous burn brighter and brighter. The lamp searches what? The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord searching all the inward parts. God has designed the new birth to give you good ground for the Holy Spirit to break the Word of God down in you spiritually to deliver your natural thinking. Oh, glory to God, you all are getting something here. You just feel like dancing right along with me. Hallelujah. Now, notice what he says here in verse 20. This word receive. This is not the word lambano. This word is different. This is called para dekomai. Para dekomai. The word para literally means alongside of something. It literally means alongside of something. Well, what would that alongside of be, people? What would it be? Guess what? Every time you read the Word of God and you receive it with purpose, you want to know what it means, you want to break it down, you want... Guess what? It says, paradekomai literally says, to receive the Word of God on good ground to do what? To do what? To do something that's alongside of you. Paradekomai, something that is alongside of you. What would that thing be that's alongside of you? Romans 12 tells us the first step of doing what to get your mind renewed? What is it? To present your body a living sacrifice. Your carnal mind has to be viewed as alongside of you because the Word of God is going deeper than your natural man. It's going into your spirit. It's your spiritual mind that has to pray that mystery out. Alongside of paradekomai. I have the Word of God telling me one thing and my natural body telling me another. I've got to take the Word of God over what is alongside of me. Which might be of God. Oh, you guys got something good here today. Amen. I wore myself out. You guys know we don't have service tonight. Now, if some of you want me to go and pray for you all night long to get fire back in you, I won't do it. So I'm not coming back here tonight. Somebody told me once, Pastor, pray that I would get dedicated to God. Okay, Lord, he's asking to get dedicated to you. I'm praying right now that he lights his own fire. There you go. And if you want me to help you, Lord, I'll go get a match or a Bic lighter someplace. I might as well pray that prayer. Let you stomp the fire out. Did you guys get something here today? Paradekomai. That's why when we get further on in Mark 4, such as verse 28, 29, it says, the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. See, the ground will bring forth fruit of itself, because there's not anything hid that will not manifest. If you sow the Word of God in your natural brain, it will manifest. You're weird. If you sow the Word of God in your spirit, it'll conquer your natural mind, and you are blessed.
Amen.
You will be spiritual. No wonder Paul had a hard time with the Corinthian church. He said, I'd love to give you deeper revelations, but he says, I can tell by the fruit. Envy and strife and division. You're tearing each other apart. Have preference over certain ministers. He said, I already can tell you, hey, you ain't even ready for revelation because you're nothing but a bunch of carnal Christians. That's all you are, is a bunch of carnal Christians. Would you guys like me to say, and there's some real short-term, Pastor, what can I do to get on fire? You guys want me to tell you what you can do to get on fire for God? You know how to get on fire for God? You know, me as pastor, I don't have this problem. I'm always on fire for God. Ever since the day I opened the doors of His Word, I have been on a consistent fire with God to right now. My staff, you keep your mouth shut and do not call me a liar. And I don't want you talking to my wife afterwards to find out whether that's true or not. Because I'm going to tell you right up front, I'm lying as lying can lie. I get caught up in natural things just like you. Hey, I could wake up one morning and I've done it. I said, I don't feel like going to church today. Till the Lord says, but you're the pastor. Not today, I'm not. And I stayed home. How did you do that? I lied to stay there. Never got cold. Hunting season come, you can tell them. Talk to Carol. She'll tell you, when hunting season comes around, I'm dedicated to the bone with the church. My mind's out in the shooting range. So what do you have to do? Well, you have to have enough people in your church come down on your case to force you to do something that you don't want to do so you'll be a better pastor. No. One day you wake up. You grab a hold of your own nape, your own neck, and you say, listen, butler, it's time to get back with the program here. Let's get back into the kingdom of God where you belong. Now, God has never told any of you that, but He has me. And so what did I do? I sat there and I said, God, I agree with you. Now, fire me up. Give me fire, Lord. You know what God told me? He says, you ain't going to want my fire. It'll consume you. He says, I want your fire. My fire. The Lord says, yeah, you'll do. You'll light up real easy. You're as dry can get. So you can ask my wife. What'd I do, Sue? I got this out. My tongue. And I didn't go and read a religious prayer. I didn't try to force my family into family devotions. I used to do that because somebody in a seminar told me to do that, and it didn't work. Just made my kids look at me like I was weird. Dad's on his kick. Well, I'm on my kick now. Right, my own rear end. So what did I do? Here's how I got back on fire. I put everything down. I got off alone with God and began to pray in the Spirit. Now, I didn't have this intellectual teaching that tongues are done away with. Thank God I was never into that prison. But anyway, Satan tried to move me in there. But I just started praying in the Holy Ghost. I didn't want to know what I was praying. I didn't want to know where I was going. I didn't want to know nothing. I just wanted to start seeking God. And I was as dry as cracker juice. And I was in that prayer closet. I didn't want to be there. My natural mind was telling me, tripping off on something else. You should be over there doing what you're... And I just kept praying in the Holy Ghost. Until finally I got so full of God, I came out of the closet. A burning lamp. And you know what? You know what is amazing? I'm going to give you guys credit. Pastor, what have you done lately? It just seemed like you're preaching with more oomph. Whoa, wow. There's something different about you. Well, before you got my head preaching. Now you got my spiritual commitment. You following what I'm saying? There's a difference, and you guys recognize it. My wife recognizes it. Guess what? You can go and recognize all you want in me, but I can recognize it in you. Same thing. Did you guys get something tonight? Or this morning? Because we ain't got no service tonight, right? I got to hit you with everything I possibly can. Now, don't forget Sylvester's homecoming party. Wednesday at 2 o'clock. And the whole church is invited. Hallelujah. Coronation Day. Unless you believe in soul sleeping, then you need to get your mind renewed. So, boy, Satan sure tried to hit me early with these doctrines. I was at I can't remember his name. He had a big meeting up there in Seattle. Can't remember his name. Anyway, he's a dynamic speaker, and I opt to work on the leading people to the Lord crew. You know, the first person I got, he sat there and started preaching to me about soul sleeping, and I said, "Didn't you go forward to get saved?" He said, "No, I'm here to promote the Word of God, brother." And I said, "Oh, you're saved." And he says, "I am. Do you know what soul sleeping is?" And I said, "No." And I didn't mean to say it, but I said, "Well, maybe your soul's sleeping." I wasn't interested in where my mind was in some grave. I was interested in getting to lead somebody to the Lord. And afterwards I said, "Lord, how come I get those kind of weirdos? Why can't I get somebody who says, 'Oh, give me Jesus'? I get somebody who wants to tell me how to get my soul to sleep in some grave." So I started asking people, you know, after being smart with him, I started asking people, "What is soul sleeping?" Then they started telling me, and they were taking the scriptures literal. I got to thinking, well, that's weird. Now, John Cook, if he'd have got that guy, he'd have known right away where that guy was coming from. Because he's been churched. You got to remember, I just gave my life to the Lord when I went up to that meeting. I was on fire for God. Amen. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. So, if you have problems with other believers, what you do is open your Bible up and go to Romans 12, 13, 14, and 15. And see if the conflicts that you have or the fruit they're bearing matches up with that. And you'll tell whether their mind's being renewed or not. And that's what will give you discernment. Praise God. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you so much that we now have the Holy Spirit in control of our interpreting of Scripture so that we're not brought to deception. Father, may my church learn more than ever how to depend upon the Holy Spirit and wait upon Him for teaching and instructing, mentorship. Father, so many of us are looking to be mentored. We've got the greatest mentor in the universe residing on the inside of us, the wonderful Holy Spirit, our comforter, our strengthener, the one who stands by to assist us and help us to carry the weight that is so badly needed from the burdens that we want to carry all on ourselves. How many of you know the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost wants to tilambano, literally gather together with you and help you carry some of that stuff so that you're not overtaxed and overburdened. How many of you know that? That's your Holy Spirit. You know, we need to... You know, somebody said they didn't agree can't think of his name. My mind's drawing a blank. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And I got to think of, well, good Lord, what is wrong with saying that? Good morning, Holy Spirit. Well, it gives us such an awareness of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Amen. That's what a lot of us need to do. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Then we need to lay our heads down and say, good night, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He needs to hold first place in our life. He is a personality. What a friend. What a friend. The Holy Spirit. Father, natural life for so that they can change is not even sure whether they're safe. Everything within our power to assist as we work together with you. And if you're here and you can say, well, I've been one of them Christians that have been out of fellowship with God, I need to make a decision in my life to change in the way I've been fellowshipping with you, to restore my walk with you, Father, through Jesus. So if you want to respond today for restored fellowship, we're going to give you that opportunity. And if you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in that heavenly language, you're denying your spirit a right to communicate with God through tongues. Because that is a revelation gift. It's designed for you to grow spiritually. So if you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, glory to God, we're here. So any one of those three areas, here's what I want you to do. I want you to step out and I want you to come down forward and let us pray with you. And don't you be ashamed. Hallelujah. Salvation, restoration, or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We have altar ministers here for that purpose. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Anybody else wants to join our brother? Hallelujah. Anybody else? Hallelujah. 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 Borro kiste. Borro kiste. Father, I thank you so much for Jose. Father, that which you have begun in him, he will perform till the return of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Jose, I want you to go with that personal worker behind you. Hallelujah. Jose, you knew David Wilkerson personally, didn't you? Jose. got his mind on the Lord. Cross and a switchblade. He's mentioned in there. God sure keeps him. He used to be a member of the Mau Mau gang. Hallelujah. Dear Father, I thank you for these wonderful people, and we're going to set them free so that the rest of the day and tomorrow they're going to have a good day in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the wonderful day I had yesterday. I just didn't recognize it. But today, Father, may your people be thoroughly blessed to finish out Labor Day weekend in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, you're free.
Treasure that I